How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude for all I am and ever hope to be. I owe it all to thee, to God be the glory, to God. Saved me with his power, he has raised me to God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me lay my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I gain any praise, well, let it go to his power, he has raised me to God be the glory for the things he has done.
Glory to the Lamb of God. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. The text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service, as us will permit those to enter. Galatians, chapter 3. It's be good to read this chapter in its entirety when you get home, but if you would just go with me to verse number 13. It's where we'll begin our reading this morning. Galatians chapter 3. Wonderful to see some that we haven't seen in some time. Thank you for your presence this morning. The word of the Lord reads on this wise. Somebody listen. Verse 13. chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. We've been celebrating the Christ. This is celebrating the Christ number 7. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about the liberation of Christ today. A reason to say thank you, number 3. Amen. We talked to you a little while back about the love of Christ. Paul said to us that it controlled him. That God's love was so wonderful that it controlled his very being, how he lived, how he gave, how he served. He was controlled by such great love the Father had given unto us. Not only did it control him, he said it constrained him. That the love of God was so great that Jesus the Christ died so that I might live. It pushed me, it pulled me, it twisted me so that I would do the very best I could to give God glory, honor, and praise, for he's worthy. I have been constrained by his great love. But then we said to us on last week, talked about the life of Christ. In the life of Christ, when you come to know the resurrected Christ, knowing the resurrected Christ, the text tells us that it gave us a new mind. We had new mind. Becoming a Christian changes everything, does it not? It changes everything so completely. I told you on last week that the believer is no longer judging things according to the flesh.
Right.
We are no longer content with viewing people according to their outward lives. Everyone we meet now is someone whom Christ died for. Oh my God. He said we had a new mind. We had changed. That we got we become a new man. A change has come over me. He's changed my life. And now I'm free. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not just a new mind and a new man, but he says we now have a new ministry. That ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. We come to know that reconciliation happens all because God, Jesus, does something for us and to us, not because of anything that we did. He came for us. We didn't come for him. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, that we are to go out and reconcile ourselves, not to God because he's done that for us, but we've got to reconcile other folk to Christ and to ourselves. We've got to come back together. Today, I want to talk about the liberation of Christ. Here it is. Paul has been talking to the folks in Galatia. He's spoken, if you read back a little bit, he's spoken about Abraham. Abraham is real big in this text. He talks about Abraham and his seed. The Judaizers were proud to be Abraham's seed. They were excited about the fact that they were his seed. It says over there in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him
for righteousness. That's all Abraham had to do to be saved. Abraham's salvation was based purely and simply on the principle of grace, which was made operationally effective in his life when he believed God. All he had to do was believe. He believed God. He talked also about Abraham and the scriptures. If you go back a little bit, he says, it talks about all the do's and all the don'ts and lets us know with clarity that we cannot live by the law. Right. Ain't no way in the world you can make it living by the law. He now begins to talk to us about Abraham and the Savior. I'm talking about Jesus the Christ. He has already introduced the Galatians to an aspect of the law that the Judaizers downplayed. They said that it's a fearful curse. The law was a curse, y'all. If you tried to live it, you couldn't, and you would just be cursed. And so now he begins to talk to us about how that burden of curse can be removed by Christ. Look at it. I'm in verse 13. Ain't gonna be for you long today. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Yeah. In his unconverted, unregenerated, his unsaved days, Saul of Tarsus, the arch persecutor of the church, that thing right there had been the most impossible thing about Christianity. You know, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He couldn't get with it. The Old Testament law read like this. If a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. Saul of Tarsus was familiar with both this particular Old Testament curse and the various examples of its application, the folks that had been cursed like this. So although he might have been prepared to concede certain things about Jesus of Nazareth, it was this method of his death that to him, at any rate, made the claims of Christ false and blasphemous. He couldn't get with it, y'all. He had been hanged on a tree. He had been crucified on a Roman cross. And according to the Old Testament law, therefore, he had died under direct curse of God. Saul of Tarsus might have been willing to concede the death of Israel's Messiah, but on a tree. He could die, but not on a tree. It was the most impossible thing about Christianity. But then he met the risen and ascended Lord. I said, then he met the risen and ascended Lord. He saw the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. And therefore, after the fact that Christ had indeed died under God's curse, became the most impressive thing about Christianity. Now, it couldn't happen that he died on a cross. He died on a tree. That was one thing he couldn't get with. And then one day, he got to see Jesus for himself. When he saw Jesus for himself, he saw the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. He had been risen. He had gone to the Father. He come back down, and now he sees him. He said, this is incredible to me. It will change your life when you come to know Jesus for yourself. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yeah, he could see it now. Yeah, it was necessary for Christ to die under the curse. Only thus could the curse itself be removed. The curse wouldn't leave if he didn't die.
Right.
He had to die so the curse wouldn't get on you. Glory to the Lamb of God. He don't die, us is cursed. Help us, Jesus. You got to think about all of, remember in the Old Testament, you think about all the curses that were out there. There were plagues, all kind of stuff was going on for people who did bad stuff, did wrong stuff. They went against the, transgressed the law. They did stuff that was wrong, and they got messed the ham sandwich up. Yeah, anybody that broke the law, the penalty was directed to the people who had broken the law. But when Christ died in our stead, the curses were all aimed on him. I wish I would know that the Lord is worthy of our thanks, of our praise. Yeah, the people in the Old Testament who transgressed the law, the penalties were aimed directly at them because they had broken the law. Jesus, who had never done anything wrong in his life, died. When he died, it should have been me. You ought to say this, it should have been me. It should have been me, but when he died in our stead, the curses were all aimed at him. He died on a tree, the very symbol of the curse of the law. He died wearing a crown of thorns, the very symbol of the curse from the fall. That was the symbol of the fall. Christ removed the terrible burden of the law's curse, though. But more than that, when he died, he removed the curse of the law. But more than that, Paul shows us now, and to the Galatians as well, that the tremendous blessing that is now received through Christ. Yeah, there's some blessings that come to you through Christ. Now that he has redeemed us, now that he has removed the curse from us. I'm in verse 14. You know I'm through, right? He says here that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing of Abraham. It says the blessing of Abraham was salvation by faith. You get saved by faith. That's the blessing that came to Abraham. We already talked about back there in verse number 6 that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. If you believe God, he accounts you righteous. With your messed up self, all you have to do is believe. Somebody, if you believe God, it makes you righteous. Glory to the Lamb of God. But look, he points out here in the text that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Now, he says to the Gentiles, because the Jews thought that they had everything on lock. He says, no, this is open to lotty-dotty, everybody, anybody that would claim Christ, anybody that would believe him, you will be saved. That's what he said. You got to get the blessing of Abraham. It's salvation by faith, and it's for everybody. I'm so glad. Thank you, God. Thank you that the blessing of Abraham can fall on me because I sure enough believe you. I have faith in you. I trust you. I believe God. But that wasn't it, y'all. He says not just righteousness, not salvation alone by faith. He says you also gonna receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, that's your shout moment right there. He says that there is the promise. promise of the Spirit, what you're talking about, preacher? Well, the promise of the Spirit included the baptism of the Spirit, which puts each believer in the Lord Jesus into the church, into the mystical body of Christ. Yeah, that's what the baptism of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit does. It puts you into the family of God. You, the promise of the Spirit. It is the gift of the Spirit that gets promised to you as well. The gift of the Spirit. It puts all of the wisdom in the Lord Jesus. Yeah, all the wisdom, the love, the power of the Godhead at the disposal of the child of God. You can get all the wisdom, all the love, all the power. It can be yours. All because you have the gift of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit is the indwelling of the Spirit, which puts God back in you. Oh, God. That was a thank you. She should have gone right there. That he promises to indwell you. The Spirit of God indwells in you, which says that God is on the inside of you. That's why the scripture declares that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Promises the seal of the Spirit, which secures the believer eternally. Y'all don't understand that? It promises the seal of the believer. The seal of the Spirit, which secures your salvation eternally. God, I thank you. It promises the earnest of the Spirit, which guarantees the exceeding great and glorious future that awaits every believer in eternity. God, thank you. It promises the filling of the Spirit, which enables the believer to live the life of the indwelling Christ. When he fills you, it allows you to be able to live the life, not your life, but the life of Christ, the one that lives on the inside of you. If you feel a little weak there now and then, fill me up, Lord, fill me up. Fill me again, Lord, fill me again. Fill me up, Lord, fill me up. Fill my cup till it overflows. I want to live like you. I want to live so the Lord can use me. And the promise of the Spirit is the anointing of the Spirit, which empowers the believer for service. You don't get anointed so you can shout. You don't get anointed so you can speak in tongues. You don't get anointed so you can look all pious and holy and sanctimonious. You get anointed for service. You've been anointed to serve. You've been anointed to serve. You have been anointed to serve, not sit on your do nothing and do nothing. You have been anointed to serve. God, I thank you for the promise of your Spirit that anoints me to serve your people. That gives the believer reason to rejoice. Now you can shout. Give the reason to rejoice in Christ. Give the reason to tell the Lord thank you. Give the reason to say thank you to you. Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? Y'all ain't shouted yet. Let me give you a little recap. The reason you can tell the Lord thank you is because when Jesus died for you and got up from the grave, it says that there are no more curses, just blessings. That was your shout moment. No more curses, just blessings. You say, I'm living in a no curse zone. Yeah, no curses around me. He says that he paid, he had redeemed us, right? Yeah. That he paid for us. He paid in full, y'all. And hold up, wait a minute. He paid the full price. Yeah. In a day and time where we're looking for a bargain, we're looking for a bargain, we're looking for a bargain. We're looking for something off, 50% off, 10% off. We look
looking to get a good back. Jesus said, no, I'm paying the full price. I paid the full price. Some blood wasn't enough. It took all my blood. I paid full price for you. He became a curse and dissolved the curse all at the same time. Somebody ought to tell the Lord, thank you. Amen. God bless you today.